Good morning, Federation family. I trust that after the end of this presentation, I'll still be a member of your presentation family. I have a question. What is the most powerful nation in the world? Almost. The answer comes from Albert Einstein, imagination. Nothing is conceived until it's first formed in your imagination. Okay. A definition of what I do, I put square pegs in round holes. I take older vehicles and put new engines in them. I take newer vehicles and put older engines in them. It depends on what the customer wants. I try and give them exactly what they want. I became an engineer to be better at my hobby, not to bring in the big bucks, although I did not turn down the big bucks. As an engineer, I did FMVSS testing with General Motors. Now, FMVSS stands for Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard. I think motor vehicle safety standards, you've heard that phrase at least a couple of times this week. Now, car building is a compromise. It's just like anything else. The automakers will take a plan, put together what they think the majority of people will buy. They don't target any particular segment of the population. Now, what I do is I take some of those compromises out to make the vehicle specific for the customer. So, right now I'm going to let you listen to a couple of engine audios of performance engines that I have put together.
This is the sound of a slightly modified vehicle getting ready for startup and run. So listen carefully. The engine tone is relatively smooth, and that is the way normal or production engines sound. I know you all know what the sound of a regular engine sounds like. What you're going to hear in the following seconds is the accumulation of work that I have done on one of my customers' vehicles that is looking for more performance sound out of its vehicle. As you notice, you don't have any problem for us sneaking up on you with this vehicle. Also, if you notice that the sound at the lower speed are a little rough, but they're not continuous. Also, as the speed goes up, the tone sounds more musical.
Where did that last clip come from? I know. Don't give up my day job. The Motor Vehicle Safety Act of 2010, as you probably realize, the vehicles I work on are in compliance with it. That's H.R. 5381 and S3302. That's the bill that'll keep us all safe when we walk on the highway. Now, here's something you can take back home with you. When you put more than one item together and you use a nut and bolt to keep the two pieces in close proximity. The nut is what most people think holds the pieces together. That's almost true. When you tighten a nut on a bolt, the bolt will stretch a certain amount. Very small, but it'll stretch a certain amount. But that stretch stays in the bolt. It's just like pulling a rubber band. That stretch is what keeps the nut tight. If there's no stretch in the bolt, that nut will slowly work its way loose and it'll fall out. I think you've all run into that once or sometime or another. Okay, now, one of the things that I do on the vehicles is, on the older vehicles, I usually put in brand new wiring harnesses. Now, I build these wiring harnesses from scratch. So to keep track of what goes where, I put together a spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet, and for each row, I put the circuit, starting with the location, the description, and the third column is the wire gauge, the fourth column is the color, the fifth column is where it's coming from, where it's going to. And then I group them in major sections, starting out with front wiring, rear wiring, engine harness, under dash, so on and so forth. To date, I've probably done less than 100, maybe 75 different vehicles. And what gets me is the sighted population can't do wiring harnesses. So how can this blind guy do it? Now, I personally own a 1970 Boss 302 Mustang that I bought in November of 1969. I tried to sell it once, but the guy that offered me money for it offered me less than what I had in my pocket. Thanks for him, I still got it. The Mustang has 460 horsepower. You probably heard it on the last clip that snuck into my presentation. Okay. 1940 Pontiac was one that I built for a customer, and it has all of my wiring in it. It has an engine that I built, I think it was 20 years ago, and we just had it rebuilt last year. So I think that's better than any automaker. I've got other vehicles too that I've worked on. My Cobra. Now, back in the day, half of you people weren't around then, but back in the 60s, I was here. Careful now. Back in the 60s, the fastest vehicle on the street was a Shelby Cobra. In the 1970s and the 1980s, the original cars, although used, were going for over $1 million. Obviously, an engineer's salary won't reach $1 million. If you did, you weren't paying your house note, or you weren't eating either. So I decided, since I like to make things better, if I had an original Cobra and you started making changes on it, you're losing depreciation quite rapidly. So the next idea was to build one, what they call a kit car, and build it from scratch. Because back in the late 70s and early 80s, there was only three companies building kit cars for the Cobra. They were Arndt Industries on the West Coast, ERA Cobras in New York, and there was another company, and I don't remember the name of it then. But all of them used different components, and it wasn't what I was looking for. So when I decided to build a Cobra, I've been going to auto shows all along, and the class that had the stiffest competition was the street rod, like a 23 Model T with a small block Chevrolet engine and everything in it was hand built. Well, I decided to take that thinking and put it into my Cobra, because I also noticed the easiest class to build on the show circuit was hand-built sports. That's for people that put a car together that they couldn't afford if it was original. Hint, hint. So I decided to combine the two. And what I was going to build was not a car to compete on the show circuit, but one that would win. In my vocabulary, mediocre is a dirty word. Webster's definition says average, so that means what? Average is a dirty word. I didn't specialize in Ford products because everybody else that was building street rods and whatnot were building Chevy. So you can't stand out against all that competition, but if you build a strong Ford or Mopar, they'll remember you. The Cobra ended up with wire wheels. Now, when I was doing my research on the show circuit, there was a lot of street rods and other vehicles that had wire wheels. But for some reason, they decided to bolt the wire wheels onto the vehicle. The English use, and the people at Indianapolis use, knockoff wheels. You got one big nut that holds the whole wheel on a spline shaft. And that's what I wanted. I didn't want everybody to look at my car and say, oh, you got wire wheels, but you can still see the lug nut between the spokes. So what did I have to do? I bought the MGB, which is a British sports car built by British Leyland. It had wire wheels. That's where I bought it. I took the front suspension and the wire wheels off, and I sent the rest of the car to the junkyard. The second vehicle, I didn't buy the vehicle. I found somebody that had a Jaguar rear end for sale, and it was set up with wire wheels. So I put that on the back of my Cobra. The body on the Cobra that I bought was like old money, green and wrinkled. I had a body man work on it for over a month to get the wrinkles out. But the body was also built for another customer, and it was 6 inches longer than I needed. So we cut 6 inches out of the middle of it so that it would fit on the chassis that I had built, which was the original 90-inch wheelbase. Of course, everybody that read January Monitor knows that when I went to the show circuit, I was not ignored. And those that didn't read it, I'll give you a quick synopsis. The first year I got first place in hand-built sports. I can say this now because they can't come and take the accolades away. The car wasn't finished. My timing for scheduling everything fell a little bit behind, just like we're doing today. I'm sorry, Dr. Maurer. The car was running, so when I brought it in on a trailer, but the accelerator linkage wasn't completely hooked up, so I had a wire going from the carburetor in the car through the dash to a loop under my seat. So I got in the car, started it up on the trailer, made enough noise so everybody knew that the car would run. Then I shut it off and pushed it off the trailer. Second year, I got first place again. This time, I had bumpers on the car. The first year, there was no bumpers on the car. The third year, I got first place again. But other people got the notion that they were going to build Cobras for hand-built sports. So they said, we've got six cars, Cobra, so we're going to create a new class for them. So they had to create a new class for hand-built sports, Cobras, for that year. Now, the last year, I didn't get anything. The people that run the shows want fresh new vehicles every year, and I couldn't give them that. So the car that won first place in hand-built sports Cobra was a car that I delivered the interior to, and I wired it up and plumbed it. With all this notoriety, excuse me, with all this notoriety, people still don't believe I do what I do. We got a tow truck driver that brings vehicles for me to work on, and he drops them off in front of my shop. That's fine. I don't think he's got eyesight. For the simple reason, there's a Bridgeport in my shop, and the Bridgeport stands taller than I am. I'm 6 feet. That Bridgeport weighed maybe 500-600 pounds, maybe more than that. I don't know. I haven't tried to pick it up. But a Bridgeport is used for making components. It's like a drill press, but you can mill with it, which means you can take material off the side of a piece of aluminum or off the top or the bottom. You can put slots or grooves or anything in them. Well, he didn't see that because he brought me a Monte Carlo one day because he could not put the pedals in it, the gas, brake, and clutch pedal, because the engine and transmission came out of a later vehicle. So the only reason I think he got the job was because I was at a national convention for the National Federation of the Blind. So I finished the job, and the owner took the car back. He says, "See, this guy did it." And he says, "No, he subcontracts that stuff out." I said, That's okay. I like blowing smoke. They don't bother me one bit. It's not my problem. It's their problem. I also put a different engine in a late model Ford pickup truck. And when you do that, there are certain things that have to be changed on the vehicle to make everything work together. Remember I said the vehicle is a compromise. You change one thing, you're going to have to change three or four other things to get everything to work back in harmony. So to make a long story short, I had to put a custom-made drive shaft in the truck. Now, granted, I do a lot of work in my shop, but I don't do welding and I don't do painting. To make a drive shaft, you got to do welding. So I took the specification to a drive shaft shop and told them what I wanted. They did what I said, and I put it in. The owner made one mistake, though. He had people looking at the vehicle and said, "Hey, you got a new drive shaft in it." He said, "Yeah, blind man did it." Oh, no. He thought he was blowing smoke. What the mind can conceive and you can believe, you can achieve. National Classic Car Appreciation Day is tomorrow. So if you got an old car, try and get it out on the road tomorrow. That had been passed by the U.S. Senate and also by the U.S. House of Representatives. Okay. This environment precludes me from answering questions. So if you have any questions, suggestions, or requests, send them to CEO@SimmonsBossCreations.com, and I will answer each and every one of them. Now, in closing, I would like to say that never let society dictate to you what you can and can't do. That decision is up to you. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Marcus.